So, you know, many Catholics, I think, are not aware of the rich spiritual tradition that's in the Catholic Church. I have to admit that I didn't even know them until I went to seminary and started studying them. And John Paul II said that the parish is supposed to be a school of prayer, that we should be the experts. If anyone is looking for how to have a deep and abiding relationship with God, they should say, well, that's who we are supposed to be. And I think in here in Lewiston, we're kind of lucky because of the years of adoration that we've had here in the parish have cultivated a sense of silence and the need for that in prayer. We have the teachings in the parish of Lectio Divina. We have many people who have done that here, taken the classes, and are still praying that way. We have our Third Order communities and associates, whether it's Dominicans, Franciscans, and the Carmelites, right, that's right. And then the associates, like with the Presentation of Mary, the PM sisters. You know, we've had a long trend of being exposed to rich kind of prayer experiences, and they've been available for anybody who wants them. And of course, we know that probably the big majority of Catholics are still unaware of all of that that's available. I think there are still, though, aspects of the spiritual life that seem to be of the Catholic Church's best-kept secrets. You know, even from Catholics, we keep these secret. And why I know that is because a few people whom I've known and had conversations with speak about why, you know, they've left the church and now they love to do like morning meditations that they've learned maybe in yoga, or they do mindfulness prayers or silent reflections that they've gotten as part of their Buddhist training. And it tells me that they had no idea that all of that is available in the faith, in our Catholic faith. That they didn't need to leave the church to learn these things. These are part of our rich Catholic tradition. Not only that, but at least what we would offer, though, is at least a Christ-centered experience of all of those instead of maybe a worldly-centered or a self-centered focus on these prayers. But that they would be focused on Christ. Like, for example, one of the very basic teachings of our faith found in the Catechism is that there's a threefold kind of experience of prayer that starts with lectio, meditatio, and contemplatio. Or where you have the lesson, and then you meditate, and then there's contemplation, meditation and contemplation. And then there's the three stages of growth in the spiritual life that we talk about. We use the word purgative. The second is illuminative, and then the third is unitive. Some of the older times might be very familiar with those three stages. And if you've ever read John of the Cross, you know, he would have had this active and passive purification of the senses, and then active and passive purification of the spirit. And all these traditions, though, have kind of part of it as a key element, and that is of pruning away something, or purging of something, or removing something in our life before some other things can grow. You know, before new growth can happen. And in today's gospel, we see that the great master, teacher, you know, Jesus is the teacher of the spiritual life. He says that he is the vine and we are the branches. And that he prunes away every branch that does not bear fruit. And everyone who is pruned then will bear much fruit. Now, I am no gardener, and I do not pretend to be. I don't even care for plants that are in pots, unless they're plastic, because then I know that they'll be around for a while. But I do hear people say that they go and they need to prune their things and different kinds of plants to cut them back so that then they can experience new growth. That's what Christ is talking about, and that's really kind of a big key in the spiritual life. The first step of honest and holy growth is to burn off all that is not good, like gold that needs to be purified until it is pure. You know, then there's the first step, and usually the hardest step in the faith. Many writers like Saint Catherine of Siena, Saint Teresa of Avila, write about how this is the first stage for beginners in the faith, beginners in a spiritual journey. And it's usually at this stage where many people turn away. They start on the path, but the pruning part, the part that needs to be eliminated, to be cut back, the burning part, the cleansing part, the purgative part, whatever word we use, becomes too difficult. Mainly because in the end, sin has gotten a hold of us. These things that get in the way, you know, they don't let go of us very easily. And anyone who's dealing with any kind of addiction knows that to the nth degree. But sometimes it's as simple as stopping gossiping. How hard that is when you've got the juiciest information, right, to tell someone. And yet, no progress can be made, no movement into the illuminative stage of enlightenment, no steps up the ladder. If you've read any spiritual writings, they use a ladder, or St. Catherine of Siena using a bridge, that you start your way on the bridge of Christ, with Christ as the bridge, but you turn back, right? None of that can take place without passing through this pruning stage, this purgative stage, you know, where we learn to avoid that sin, because that struggle and that work to do that is part of the spiritual life, because it trips us up in the spiritual life. And this is just as much as it trips up other aspects of our lives. You know, in our marriages and in the priesthood, things got to prune back. In our work, in our relationships, you know, things need to be purified. You know, it's important to prune away all that is not good in these areas if ever you're going to reach the other stages that are so traditional in our faith. So it's important to cultivate the virtues, no question about that. We want to be good people. But today, Christ talks about the significance of eliminating the vices in our life, to prune back these things. You know, what we watch on TV, the books we read, the words we use, you know, the temper we might have, the impatience we have, the impurities, the selfishness, the unforgiven heart that just wants to remain unforgiven, not let God touch that. You know, the gossiping and the like stop the soul. All these things stop the soul from bearing fruit, bearing good and holy fruit with the Lord. And it hinders us in the spiritual life, stops us from moving up the ladder, going across the bridge, working through the stages. Jesus says that his Father prunes the vine and these branches in order to bear more fruit. And this is something we usually do not like. It can be painful. It's a struggle. It's something the catechism calls it like a war within the soul. And so often we run away from it and we return to the way it was, stunting any kind of real growth. So Jesus says today that he is the vine, and called to be united. We are called to be united with him as the branches. And that's a deep kind of unity that we're called to. You know, when you think of, you know, the vine and the branches that flows in between that, the same kind of life flows between that, between the branches and the vine itself. You know, he does not hide, though, the fact that this kind of unity, you know, means that there's a price, that there's some sort of pruning that God doesn't sit alongside with, and allow God to prune these things that harm the fullness of that kind of unity. So remember Jesus' words in today's gospel. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, that kind of unity, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you, because your sole role will be to do God's will. Anything else would be of insignificant value to us. And by this, he says, my Father is glorified, and you will bear much fruit in this life and become my disciples. So take the garden of the spiritual life, which is often called, very seriously, you know, and start pruning away all that is not good to bear much fruit for God.